My name is Garland Robinson. The Bible tells us in Mark 1 and verse 4 that John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord, preached a baptism of repentance unto or for the remission of sins. The Bible also reveals that Jesus taught the same thing. And as a matter of fact, he baptized more disciples than John, even though Jesus did not with his own hands. He did so through his teaching, and the apostles baptized people for the remission of sins. On the day of Pentecost, the very first occasion wherein the gospel was ever preached, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, people cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" And the answer given them was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." And that same has been done ever since the first century and will continue as long as this world stands. So baptism is for, in order to receive, the remission of sins. But then after one is baptized, what follows that? What does a person do then? What do we learn from the Bible that comes as a result of being baptized? Well, there are certain things that follow baptism or come as a result of those who have been baptized. Number one, we learn that one walks a newness of life. In Romans 6 and verse 4, we read that being buried with him by baptism into death, whereas Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now that's an interesting expression, a new phrase. When one has become a Christian, when they've been born again, when their sins are washed in the blood of Jesus in the act of water baptism, one begins to live a new life. He didn't live a new life before he was baptized. He lives a new life after he's baptized. So here we find Paul telling the church at Rome, and of course Paul is writing by the inspiration of God, that when they were baptized, they were raised up out of the water in order to walk a new life. There's a new relationship with Christ. One does not continue living in sin, but now they have begun a new life in Christ. Notice we begin then to read in Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing this. Well, what do we know? Well, we know that when we're baptized, our old man is crucified with him, that in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That is, we're dead to the old way of life. We're dead to the old way of sinning. And so he says, now that you've been baptized, you don't continue walking that way. You don't live that way. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. But now, when does that take place? It's not when someone asks Jesus to come into their heart and be their personal Savior. That's man-made doctrine. Never read that in the Bible. No scripture you can point to even hints at that idea. Man says that, and man believes that, and it's very comforting with men. Well, we need not be concerned about men. We need to be concerned about God. What does he say? So when you have been baptized, you die to the old world of sin, and that old man is buried, and you're raised up from that watery grave of baptism. You're a new creature, a new person, and now you live according to the way of the Lord. Verse 9 in Romans 6, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now notice this, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As a result of that, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? He said, God forbid. Now, when does all this take place? When you're baptized. This doesn't take place before you're baptized. This is what happens at the point of baptism and afterwards that one begins to live a new life. He says then in verse 16 of Romans 6, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey?" That is, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Again, when does that take place? When you're baptized. Who do you live for? Do you live for yourself? Do you live for the devil? Or do you live for God? Do you live for the Lord? He says you are the servant to whatever you live according to. But then verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Well, what doctrine is he talking about? It's the doctrine back in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. The whole doctrine, this whole chapter here, is the doctrine of water baptism. You no longer live according to the old way of life. You've obeyed now from the heart, that is sincere, honest, that doctrine which was delivered. Then notice verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Now, when exactly is the moment one becomes free from sin? It's when they're baptized in water. How simple, how plain can you get? And yet, men, oh, they hate that. Oh, they hate that with a passion. They say, "Paul, you're wrong. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation." They cannot stand the doctrine of the Lord. And so they go to great lengths to get around it and circumvent it. But friend, I'm not about to do that. And anyone that loves the Lord, loves His Word, if you'll just be honest, you've got to be honest to accept what the Lord says and be pleasing in His sight. And when you do that, then the Lord can forgive you and save you. So as you live a Christian life, that is done after you're baptized and not before you're baptized. Then old things are put off, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Ephesians 4, we read in verses 22 to 32, all those great things. But then in Colossians 3, verse 8 and 9, we read, "But now ye also put off all of these, anger and wrath, malice and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds." When you put off that old man, when you're baptized, how simple can that be? Why in the world do people resist that and fight that? They go to great lengths and burl up their nose and say, "I will not believe what Jesus said about it." It's a mystery to me, but how in the world can people get around what God said? We also have a new name. As a result of being baptized, we have a new name. That new name is Christian. We also recognize that we're a member of the body of Christ after we've been baptized. We're born into God's family. You remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," and we're born into a family. We're adopted and we're grafted into the Lord because we have obeyed Him in humble submission to His will. We have God as our Heavenly Father. Christ refers to us as His brethren. We are heirs with Him. We are important as a member of the body of Christ. As there are many members, yet there is but one body. So those who are baptized, they are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, which is His church, His spiritual body, which is His church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we're all baptized into one body. A third thing that comes by being baptized is that we worship God faithfully. Those who were baptized in the first century, Acts 2 verse 42 says, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Their worship consisted of singing, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Their singing was a cappella, that is, without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments of music. It is with the voice, as every passage in the New Testament so clearly indicates. Their worship consisted of praying, Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Their worship consisted of giving, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. It was done upon the first day of the week. They didn't have sales and fundraisers. It was a free will offering given by those who were members. Their worship included preaching the Word of God, Acts 20 and verse 7. It included partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, the unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. We understand, number four, that what follows baptism is now Satan is going to do his utmost to draw you away from God. He's as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. There's no subject in all the Bible that's any clearer than that subject. He's going to be after you with a vengeance. He wasn't able to keep you out of the church. He couldn't keep you from being baptized, but now that you've done that, he wants so desperately to get you out. You need to determine right now you're not going to forsake the Lord. Don't let Satan draw you away from God. And later when your family reunions come up, or company comes to visit, or there's ball games or vacation or anything else, you won't have to decide whether to go to Bible study and whether to go to worship or not, because that's already been decided. That was decided the day you were baptized. So you are now a new creature in Christ. And number five, we'll mention this. What follows baptism? We seek those things that are above. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3. Not those things on the earth, but the things that are above, the things that are spiritual, the things that are heavenly. We seek things above because our affections, our interests, that's where our attachment is. We desire to look at those things that are above. Jesus talked about that again and again, because the reward is great. Now, have you made that reservation? Have you been baptized in order to receive the forgiveness of sins? And you raised up out of that water, all your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. Now you're a new creature. You desire to go to heaven, and you have to live like it. You have to be faithful. You have to continue on. You have to worship God faithfully. You don't let Satan draw you away. You have a new affection, looking at those things above, because you're walking a new life. You are a Christian. You are a member of the body of Christ. Isn't that your desire, to live faithful, to hear Him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That is the goal, and that's what follows water baptism. If you believe, repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then live faithful all the days of your life, that you might, in the end, hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." We appreciate you listening. I hope you'll join us again next time.